Today's message is Psalms for Turbulent Times, Part 5, Psalm 74.
Our scripture reading for this morning comes from Psalm 78, a Psalm of David. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor of the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, and lift them up forever. You may be seated. This is David's cry for help. It is his appeal, not so much his own vindictiveness, as it is his concern for the moral government of society. The psalmist receives assurance that his prayer has been answered, and he expresses his gratitude to God. I want to give an assessment of events and advice for America. Now, the article I'm using was used at the Trump protest. It's a call of arms and preparedness. Of course, this week there was more shaming of Americans, and that seems to be the push now, shame everybody into wearing a mask. If I could bring a State of the Union address to America, I would say this. My fellow Americans, COVID-19 is cover for a communist coup. Resist. How long will you wear the mask of submission? 1 year? 2 years? Or beyond? The so-called experts have already said it will never end. This plandemic is only the conditioning part of preparing you for an economic reset to take America into a communist state. It can end if you dare to end it. I see people wearing masks alone in a car or outside in the fresh air. I see them in masks when they are distanced. Why? Masks are actually harmful. They lower oxygen levels, which decreases the immune system. Masks increase bacteria. Most people who have allegedly, quote unquote, died from COVID have actually died from bacterial pneumonia. Masks are useless because viruses are smaller than the pores in them. Masks have no justifiable purpose since recent science proves that asymptomatic people do not spread the coronavirus. Because of media lies, we have been doing just the opposite of what should be done. There is immunity with community. Death toll numbers are a swindle. People die every day for various reasons. You have a far greater chance of dying from a car crash than you do from COVID-19. And isn't it strange that we hear nothing about the recoveries nor the usual flu deaths? The COVID rate of infection is no different from the common flu, but they want you scared. Just look around and ask, if there really is that many people dying, then where is the massive digging going on in the graveyards? We breathe in millions of viruses every day. Most of them are harmless and occur naturally to cleanse us from toxins. However, COVID-19 is a man-made virus and was designed for nefarious purposes Everything from an economic boost for the medical establishment to big pharma to population reduction. And we may be seeing a lot more of that in the near future. Mask wearing has nothing to do with viruses, but instead with the pagan beliefs of our present overlords who are seeking to make us their willing slaves through psychological programming, that is, occult ritual programming. The website occultworld.com states, quote, "The mask has been revered as a sacred object of power, a living thing that either has its own persona or represents the persona of another being. It enables the wearer magically to bring to life and even become the persona or spirit being represented by the mask," end quote. In other words, mask wearing is symbolic of the silent acceptance of humanistic one-worldism under Satan. Mask wearing is a cultic phenomena and has been for thousands of years. It is a secret religious initiation having to do with silence being imposed by shutting the mouth. The power of this ritual must be stopped. Take off the mask. This whole scamdemic is simply the continuing war on Trump by the deep state, mostly Democrats. This outsider has upset the apple cart of the Washington elite and is returning power to the people as per the Constitution. He is only trying to keep America as founded. Therefore, he is a deep threat to the deep state's plan of global slavery. How does the few rich elite at the top control the many, and how can they give the people a system they do not want? They give them an invisible enemy, for example, the war on terrorism. A virus is invisible and is very effective if it can scare people into compliance. They are forcing us away from a world based on democracy and into a system of technocracy. Technology will be used to control the public because people usually overthrow their slave masters. A pandemic is the perfect way to force everyone into a new system. They call it transhumanism. I call it the mark of the beast. Doctors will inject DNA altering material and will enable the human body to connect to the cloud. That's the Borg. Bankers will give you the cryptocurrency you earn. Everything will be known and monitored by AI. Take off the mask while you still can. Now is your chance to act before America ceases to exist as we have known it. People and businesses do not need to be locked down. Governments need to be locked down. Be a man or woman and stand up. Take off the mask for your posterity. Do we want to see a Bolshevik revolution in America, which will now encompass the globe? Study the history of the last century, not just what you were taught in school. Over 100 million people died because of two world wars. The Soviet Union breaks the record of deaths, which included war, famine, torture, and slavery into gulags. The alleged 6 million Jews who were supposedly murdered by Hitler, of course no orders were ever found, pales in comparison to the reign of death by Stalin. Alexander Solzhenitsyn states over 60 million Russians were killed. The truth of the matter concerning World War II is that Adolf Hitler stood as a roadblock to the Soviet expansion into Western Europe. America stood on the wrong side of both world wars and should have allied with Germany against the communists. The West owes Hitler an apology, yet he is demonized. Will we reap what we have sown? Will we have to face the atrocities of global communism? Not if we remove the mask. America, your only hope is to turn back to the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, quote, "If my people, which are called by my name, that's Saxons, which equals Isaac's sons, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land, end quote. As mentioned before, mask wearing is a satanic ritual that causes an individual to become a different person. The globalist, quote-unquote, powers that be must have cooperation in enslaving the planet. Therefore, the COVID pandemic and related restrictions, such as masking, is the perfect method to coerce people into becoming world citizens. Nationalism is not tolerated in their world because self-government could pose a threat. Not only are people being manipulated to accept a global order, but also they plan to inject, by vaccination, DNA-altering materials into everyone's body so that they become genetically susceptible and acceptable to their plan of world conquest. Do you want to become someone other than an American? For example, a communist under global government? Do you want to become a genetically modified organism? For example, like some of our food, something other than what God made you at birth. If you become part computer, that's the AI, the possibilities are endless. From nanobots flowing in your blood, creating diseases, to death if you fail to be deprogrammed and re-educated. Do you really want to pollute your holy seed line when God says that genetics is very important to him? Quote, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself, above all the nations that are upon the earth, end quote, from Deuteronomy 14:2. Quote, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the peoples of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites and the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians and the Amorites. Are there any of these mixtures alive today? For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the peoples of the lands. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my robe, and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard, and sat down confounded. Ezra 9:1-3. Quote, now it came to pass when they had heard the law that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. Nehemiah 13:3. Quote, look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. End quote from Isaiah 51:2. Quote, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. End quote from Amos 3:2. Identity is far more important than most people realize. There is good reason why God placed genealogies in the Bible. Take off the mask. Do not be anything other than what the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has already intended. Now, as I see it, a brief overview on what has happened. On September 12, 2018, President Trump signed an executive order laying out a process for interagency cooperation between the intelligence community, Departments of Justice, Homeland Security, State, and Treasury, to impose economic sanctions and other sanctions against countries, groups, or other persons who are found meddling in U.S. elections. On December 2 of 2020, in Trump's speech on vote fraud, he invoked legal language that clearly references his September 12, 2018 executive order, which describes remedies for foreign interference in U.S. elections. Here is what he says. Quote, The only conceivable reason why you would block common sense measures to verify legal eligibility for voting is you are trying to encourage, enable, solicit, or carry out fraud. It is important for Americans to understand that these destructive changes to our election laws were not a necessary response to the pandemic. The pandemic simply gave the Democrats an excuse to do what they were trying to do with or for many, many years. End quote. Note carefully the phrase, trying to encourage, enable, solicit, or carry out fraud. Where have we heard something similar before? In the 2018 executive order, which describes who will be subjected to having all their assets seized by the U.S. government. Note that this applies to corporations, individuals, partnerships, and even nonprofits. Emphasis is added. Section 2. To have materially assisted, sponsored, or provided financial, material, or technological support for, or goods or services to, or in support of, any activity described in subsection AI. Section 2, AI, to have directly or indirectly engaged in, sponsored, concealed, or otherwise been complicit in foreign interference in a United States election. End of that quote. Thus, Trump has invoked the 2018 executive order and sent an undeniable signal to Chris Miller at the DOD, as well as other groups, that the Democrats, the media, and the big tech giants have all engaged in concealing, advocating, or supporting, quote-unquote, foreign interference in the U.S. election. When Trump reviewed the report submitted by John Ratcliffe, that's the Director of National Intelligence, of findings by intelligence agencies that Americans colluded with foreign governments to subvert U.S. elections of November 3, 2020, Trump invoked the Insurrection Act, placing authority and responsibility on the military to proceed with their statutory duties to defeat the insurrection and restore constitutional government. Pentagon troops occupied D.C. and were sent to arrest Biden on Inauguration Day, but because of a threat, which was rumored a possible nuke, and we know that Pelosi made comments about Trump wanting to start a war with a nuke, decided to defer the arrest until later after the threat had been debunked or thwarted. When and if Biden et al. Is arrested, he will be treated by law as if he were never the president, and everything he had signed will be null and void. Indeed, he is likely to be treated as one who had conspired to seize the presidency by treasonous means. It has been over 2 weeks now since the inauguration, and the troops are still there, proving that they were not there simply to protect the event. They must be there for some other reason. Unfortunately, Chris Miller is no longer in charge of the Department of Defense. Pretender Biden is not legitimate. That is, he is the commander in chief and an agent of the Chinese Communist Party. The Pentagon has blocked certain military information from Biden, and Trump still gets military briefings. Who really is in charge in Washington? Could it be that, quote-unquote, the new administration, spoken of by Trump, was not the Biden administration, but an administration under the military by way of FEMA? The inauguration was empty and a show. It reminded me of the Hunger Games. The military and defense around D.C. remains so far, but there's talk about it coming down. The Pentagon has witnessed the illegal takeover of America, a foreign-aided coup. Is Trump letting them hang themselves to reveal the real enemies of America? The physical boxes of paper ballots proving Trump won the election remain in storage for 22 months. All we need is a judge who will open the ballots. The Democrats must cover their crimes for 22 months, hence the reason for all the attempts of censorship and calling true patriots racists, terrorists, extremists, and so forth, and purging Congress of anyone spouting quote-unquote conspiracy theories. Trump wanted to take America out of its fake democracy, the corporation, and return it to a constitutional republic. It appears all hope is lost after the inauguration, but is it? Does America need more punishment? Will anyone in leadership intervene? Israel has been without hope before. Will our God intervene? Time will tell. Let's take a look at Psalm 74. The historical setting of this psalm is likely the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple of Nebuchadnezzar in 587 BC. It's recorded in 2 Kings 24. In this psalm, the congregation laments the desecration and destruction of God's house. Did you notice that the Democrats referred to the Capitol building as their, quote, temple? And that Trump supporters desecrated it. They, of course, do not worship our God, but only worship government that they themselves control. Here's the psalm, verse 1, Maskil. This is contemplation and instruction of Asaph. The Easton's Dictionary says of Asaph, quote, a Levite, one of the leaders of David's choir. Psalm 50 and Psalms 73 through 83 inclusive are attributed to him. He is mentioned along with David as skilled in music and a seer. The sons of Asaph mentioned in 1 Chronicles 25 and 2 Chronicles 20 and in Ezra chapter 2 verse 41 were his descendants, or more probably a class of poets or singers who recognized him as their master, end quote. Quote, O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their ensigns for signs. A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees. But now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand? Pluck it out of thy bosom. For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Thou didst cleave the fountain in the flood. Thou driest up mighty rivers. The day is thine, the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. O deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. Have respect unto the covenant. For the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. O let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise thy name. Arise, O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproacheth thee daily. Forget not the voice of thine enemies. The tumult of those that rise up against thee increaseth continually. End quote, Psalm 74. Psalm 74 consists of three portions. First, a complaint to God, including a description of all the horrors of the situation. Secondly, an enumeration of God's mercies in olden times as a foundation for hope that he will yet rescue Israel. And last, an earnest prayer for relief and restoration under the covenant. The psalmist Asaph brings to our attention the intervention of God on behalf of his people in former times and divine sovereignty. From that sovereignty that had been manifested in past deliverances and blessings, he drew encouragement and hope for himself and the people of God in their present distress. First of all, God is sovereign over his people. The verse 12 said, God is my king. The people of God loyally and heartily recognize his sovereignty over them. He is sovereign over all men, but his sovereignty is not acknowledged by all men. There are those who disown it and rebel against it, and others who slavishly submit to it from base motives. But his own people recognize its righteousness, wisdom, and goodness, and welcome him as their king. He is the center of their affections. In their hearts, he is supreme. They serve him willingly and bow to his authority with love and reverence. The history of God working with his people reveals a beneficent sovereignty. God is a king, quote, working salvation in the midst of the earth, end quote, verse 12 again. He is the supreme worker. Jesus said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work, John 5:17. In the events of history, he works aiding his servants, restraining the wrath of his foes, directing and controlling all things so that in the end, truth and righteousness may be triumphant everywhere. And he works in Adamic souls, delivering them from sin and educating them into holy living and useful working. The psalmist recognized the work of God in the past. He had brought them forth from Egypt with a high hand and an outstretched arm. He had smitten their enemies. He had led them through the sea as on dry land. It is the nature of his sovereignty to work beneficently, and the salvation that he works is gloriously complete. This the psalmist indicates by the words, quote, in the midst of the earth, end quote. The words denote the comprehensive nature of salvation. That is, whoever has obtained possession of the interior of a country has obtained the ascendancy over all the boundaries as well. What God undertakes, he carries out to completion. His salvation is unto the uttermost, a quote from Nehemiah 1:9. He is mighty to save, from Isaiah 63:1. Let us rejoice in God's sovereignty. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad, from Psalm 97:1. His rule is of infinite wisdom, goodness, and beauty. Under his sovereignty, the race is advancing not to darkness, but to the glad morning of the eternal day. The history of God working with his people provides them hope. The poet recounts the doings of Israel's king to encourage their hearts in time of distress. His past interventions are reasons for trusting him at every time of need. God is unchangeable, quote, the same yesterday and today and forever, end quote from Hebrews 13:8. His power does not change. His purpose does not change, and his goodness does not change. What he willed to do in the past, he will do the same again. Quote, he abideth faithful, end quote, from 2 Timothy 2:13. Quote, let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever, end quote, Psalm 131:3. Secondly, God is sovereign over his enemies. Expositors are generally agreed that by the dragons and the Leviathan, whose heads were broken in the waters, the poet intended to show the Egyptians and their Pharaoh were destroyed in the Red Sea. God manifested his sovereignty over them by destroying them for their rebellion against him and for their oppression of his people. They would not submit to his authority, so he crushed them. God is sovereign over all men, whether they acknowledge him or not. The rebellion of the wicked in no way diminishes his right to reign or his power to do all his pleasure. Thirdly, God is sovereign over nature. The psalmist also speaks of him as dividing the sea, cleaving the fountain and flood, drying up mighty rivers, preparing the light and the sun, setting all the borders of the earth, making summer and winter. God is not only the great creator of the universe, but the sustainer as well. We discover in nature not only wise and beneficent laws, but a lawgiver also. We notice a beautiful order and arrangement in nature and regard them as signs of a divine presence. God is supreme. There is no part of his vast universe from which he is excluded. His sovereignty is complete and universal. In conclusion, with a sovereign God is this, how can we lose? Throughout the scriptures, he is referred to by a genetic appellation, quote, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, end quote. This most people ignore or refuse to admit, even though they all have their version of quote-unquote God. Judeo-Christians and churches think they know something about the God of the Bible, but without the racial genealogical aspect of God, their concept of his kingdom falls short, and thus everything else falls short. Zechariah understood the racial familial connection. Quote, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. That's not everybody. And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, whose fathers? And to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, is that everybody? Once again, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. End quote. From Luke, the first chapter, 68 through 75. Let the troubled heart take encouragement from the sovereign covenant God who has led you this far and will never fail or forsake you. Furthermore, let the Judeo-Christian fake church forsake the teachings of racial equality and unity that will cause them to share in the guilt of a destroyed America. Quote, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob, that's Israel, for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, end quote, Psalm 146, verse 5. Will God forever cast us off? His wrath forever smoke against the people of His love, His little chosen flock. Think of the tribes so dearly bought with the Redeemer's blood. Nor let thy Zion be forgot, where once thy glory stood. Where once thy churches prayed and sang, thy foes profanely rage. Amid thy gates their ensigns hang, and there their host engage. And still to heighten our distress, thy presence is withdrawn. Thy wonted signs of power and grace, thy power and grace are gone. No prophet speaks to calm our grief, but all in silence mourn, nor know the hour of our relief, the hour of thy return. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, hear the prayer of your covenant people as we seek your will. We ask that you bring judgment upon your enemies and our oppressors in what seems to be a very dark turn for our country. Work for us as you have done in the past, and reveal to all that there is a God in Israel who rules over the affairs of men, through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen.